Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Yeah, we'll talk more Sabres coming up. We've got shots, NFL apps to get to, but you can really talk Bills football year-round, and no guy knows this better than Matt Perino, a good friend from the Syracuse Post-Standard. Do you have an off-season at all, Matt?
I had a little bit of an off-season, a couple weeks here, in between the Houston game and the scouting combine, which is coming up next week, so I've been pretty dialed into this. Some draft stuff. I spent a couple weeks on the free agency, so we're ready to go. We're a month away from free agency already, so it flies by pretty quick.
Yeah, and there's, you know, I would anticipate we're going to have news between now and then. Matt, first, thanks for your time. I always appreciate you stopping by. Where did we leave off with Greg Olsen? I thought we were going to have an answer last week. What do we know about the free agent tight end? He can sign anywhere before the 18th of March.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because, he seemed like the timeline was last week. And so I, like everybody else, have been refreshing my timelines, trying to figure out if he's leaning a certain way. And we haven't gotten a lot from his camp in the last couple of days. It seems like he's mulling some offers. He was negotiating late last week with all three teams, the Seahawks, the Bills, and the Washington Redskins. I know he said in the interview with the Athletic down in Carolina that he wants to play for a contender. And I know that a lot of Bills fans probably think that maybe eliminates the Washington Redskins from contention. But, you know, the Redskins are probably a quarterback away from being in the conversation, especially in that division, which, you know, what's Dallas doing? What are the Giants doing? It's not a very, even Philadelphia. I feel like, you know, Washington, they can get a Cam Newton or a Phillip Rivers to kind of come in with where they're positioned in the draft, they could be a contender. And obviously Ron Rivera, Greg Olsen have a history. Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean also have a history with Greg Olsen as well. I think that those are the two top contenders if you really press me on it. Going out to Seattle doesn't make a ton of sense because although he gets to play with Russell Wilson, it's a tougher conference, I think, right now in terms of the teams you'd have to beat. And I think that the Bills situation is probably the best from a where the Bills are in terms of a contender and the kind of impact that he can make. But we'll find out more in the coming days. I mean, I'm just like everybody else trying to figure out when he's going to, you know, we're going to drop this news.
I am surprised there was one team that we haven't heard of being in the mix. And, you know, it's not to say that they aren't, but what about the Patriots? Because if they were serious about bringing back Tom Brady, would they not want to send out a flare into the sky to say, hey, Tom, we're going to do what we can. Here's a nice new toy for you.
Yeah, I thought that, you know, a few other teams would be involved. But I think that they're kind of sitting in limbo, not knowing what's going on with Tom Brady. And, you know, Greg Olsen's a guy that, you know, while I do think that he's a potential impact player, he caught 52 balls for 600 yards and 2 touchdowns last year, which would have led the tight end in Buffalo, by a long shot. You know, he's struggled to stay on the field the last couple of years, and I think that they might be a little bit more big game fishing, if you will, which is something that Brandon Bean has said, you know, towards the end of the season, that Bills fans shouldn't be shocked if that's not the approach that he takes this year after going really hard in free agency last year. I think they're going to pick their spots this year. I know that some Bills fans aren't going to like that because, especially on the defensive side, you have some edge rushers out there that maybe cost a lot of money that would look real good in a Buffalo Bills uniform come next year paired with Jerry Hughes, depending on what they do with Shaq Lawson and Trent, Jordan Phillips and some other cut candidates, if you will, on the defensive side of the ball. So I don't know. I think that Greg Olsen would be a great addition if the Bills could make it. But I also think that if you're a Bills fan, you should be happy with what you have on the roster right now. I think that Dawson Knox is poised to take a step from year one to year two. You saw on social media Josh Allen hanging with Dawson Knox, Tommy Sweeney. I think that they're a tight-knit group, a young nucleus that's only going to get better. And I think that you're set up pretty well there at that position right now, even if you don't get one of these free agent tight ends.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest here in the sports bar. Yeah, I saw that picture. It seems like they were throwing back a few there. Have a little fun here in the offseason. Matt, as far you brought up the cut candidates, and you had the article up there. Tyler Kropp being, you know, one of those, just because you know, maybe the production doesn't meet what he's due. Who are some? We saw Richie Incognito a couple of years back. The Bills brought him back at reduced salary. Starlet Tulele, they already reworked his deal. What other things might be coming down? Players that could get their deals reworked here, perhaps, or might just be let go by Buffalo.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch a couple of those. Those names at the top, obviously Tyler Kropp, you mentioned Trent Murphy. He's due almost $10 million this year, and the Bills can save almost around eight if they move on. And I think with in Trent Murphy's case, it's all about what kind of hands you have on deck. So if they go back and they re-sign Shaq Lawson and they add up an edge rusher in free agency and maybe even a draft an edge rusher on day one or two of the draft, then you can really start turning your wheels. When it comes to maybe moving on from that contract. Now, it's all about the rotation on that defensive line. So even if they do go out and make a move or two, Trent Murphy may still be in play, especially if they're not going big game hunting because they're going to have the money to keep him on the roster. I thought that Trent Murphy played really well against the Jets in Week 17, albeit with a lot of starters out, but the Jets had their starters in, and I thought Trent Murphy, you know, had a big game, and then he used that momentum and he really showed up against Houston, along with Jerry Hughes. I believe Deshaun Watson was sacked 7 times again. The two of those guys had 4 of them. So bringing back Trent Murphy, I don't think is a problem, especially if they're not able to go out and get another high profile or upgrade, if you will, on the free agent market. In Tyler Kropp's case, I think that he's also a situation where if you're able to upgrade a la a Greg Olsen or maybe a Hunter Henry or Eric Ebron on the free agent market, then it's a situation where you move on from that contract because over the next 2 years, you could save $11 million on that deal. And I think that deal was constructed by Brandon Bean with the idea that we'll give this guy a 3-year deal, we'll see what he could do in year one, and maybe the way we're writing this, it'll give us some options for year two and year three if we're able to upgrade. He's done that across the board. You look at some of the offensive linemen that were in that article, Spencer Long, John Feliciano, Ty Insecki, all of those players, while I think that they'll all be back, and I suggested they all should be back, there's outs in those contracts, and that's what Brandon Bean did in free agency last year. And I think there's going to be more of that in free agency this year, especially if they don't go the approach of going after some of these big names.
Matt, one position that I you could say as a need, or we could debate this. That would be the corner opposite of Tre'Davious White. Now, we're talking about what moves the Bills might be making. There's been other teams like the Browns, and certainly the Redskins were one team that already started to part ways. Do we want any part of Josh Norman here in 2020?
Yeah, I wrote that that's not really a good play. Gave up 7 touchdowns last year. If I were Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, that wouldn't be the route I would take. But who knows? If, you know, getting him back under Sean McDermott's watchful eye, maybe rejuvenate his career a little bit. I mean, there's an argument to be made there, but I think there's just better options out there, whether it be James Bradbury from Carolina, who's younger. You're going to have to pay a little bit for him. Bradley Roby's going to be out there. I just tweeted about him a few minutes ago. Somebody I was super impressed with down the stretch. I thought he played a really great game against Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Bucks and Tom Brady and the Patriots in December, and then showed up and almost picked off Josh Allen twice in the Houston playoff game. So there's options out there, not to mention a myriad of prospects in the draft that we're going to get a chance to sink our teeth into next week. I think you bring back Levi Wallace, who's exclusive rights free agent. Mm-hmm. Kevin Johnson could be back in the mix as well because he's not going to cost a lot. And what you're doing in that situation is you're bringing back competition. And if you add a high-end player or a draft pick, then you do what this regime has proven time and time again, they love to do, and that is create competition at positions where they don't have a penciled in starter on day one. So a lot of options, but I do agree with you. I think that they should look to upgrade at a few of these positions. They need a true number one wide receiver, in my opinion. They need a running mate for Devin Singletary, and they probably need another. I don't want to say marquee name, but they need a top 10 guy at his position on the offensive line. Whatever that means for Cody Ford or Quentin Spain, if they bring him back, they need to get good football players. And any way they can do that, they have to do that this offseason with the money and the resources that they have.
Matt, from the leadership standpoint, I'm of the belief this actually does mean something when you bring in somebody in the league that says this is how it's done. And on the offensive side of the ball, I think we can all assume Frank Gore is not going to be back. And we certainly know Lorenzo Alexander isn't going to be back. Is there a leadership void on this team? And might Brandon Bean be looking for that guy that maybe could show these guys, okay, you've won, but let's get to that next level of winning. Any thoughts as to that theory and who that might be that could be that target in free agency?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a drop-off just because I think that there's still some guys on this team that I think have assumed leadership roles. I think you'll see Micah Hyde's leadership role grow. I think you'll see that the same thing for Tre'Davious White. And Jerry Hughes as well, a guy that's now getting up there in years, still under contract with the team, going to be back. We've seen play through injury all of last season, a guy that's pretty revered in the room. And I talked to Lorenzo Alexander about this very thing late in the season last year, and he said, I wouldn't have been doing my job if I didn't bring the young guys along and empower them to be the leaders they need to be when I'm gone. And you saw that in Tremaine Edmonds. That's the guy that stepped up before the playoff game, spoke to the team the night before the game, and a guy that people on that defense and people on this team really rally around. Josh Allen has been the leader of this offense, really, since probably halfway through his rookie season. He really, that was one of the big selling points coming out of Wyoming, was his leadership ability. So I think on both sides of the ball, you have young leaders now that have been to the playoffs, won 10 games, competed for a division, might be able to win one in 2020. I think that you have those young leaders now in place, and you could supplement that here and there. And I think that that'll be interesting to see how they approach free agency and if there's a guy out there that maybe can come in a certain room to do it. But I think in certain situations, you mentioned Frank Gore and the running back, I think they have to continue to get younger there. I think that the running mate, like I mentioned for Devin Singletary, has to be a younger player that's maybe still in his prime that can really help. Devin Singletary was so good last year when given the opportunity and when healthy. But I think you can add a speed back to create a 1-2 punch a la an Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram back in the day for the Saints. We've seen how dynamic and tough to deal with that can be for offenses. And then if you add that playmaker, whether it be a receiver or a tight end, I think it's probably going to be a receiver probably in the draft. Then you're talking about an offense that can take another step in 2020.
I agree with you that you need that running back, but gosh, can the Bill, or is it smart to pay somebody like a Melvin Gordon or whoever might be out there, Matt, or is the best avenue perhaps in the draft? I mean, Singletary in the third round wasn't that's pretty good value in my opinion.
Yeah, and the Saints drafted Kamara and Ingram, and I think that you could go and maybe get a feedback from my preliminary work looking at the prospect boards, these big boards. There's some backs out there that kind of check the boxes in the fifth and sixth round. And if you don't go that route, maybe you go and get a Matt Breida from San Francisco, who's a restricted free agent, but who's probably going to become available because they have Tevin Coleman and Raheem Mostert, who really popped in the playoffs. Breida is a speedster. He had trouble holding onto the ball a little bit last year, but there's options. Even Kenyon Drake, I don't think out of Arizona, if he chooses to test the market, I don't think he's going to command $10, $12 million. So if you can get even him in here at $8 million, $7 million per season for a couple of years, that's the type of route I think that you go. But you want playmakers. You want multi-talented type of playmakers that can run the ball and also can impact in the passing game. And that's one area that I think Frank Gore wasn't really giving them. They didn't want to activate T.J. Yeldon, and we can debate whether or not that was the right decision. But they do need to get younger, and if they don't think that T.J. Yeldon was good enough to supplant Frank Gore on the active roster, they have to go out and find somebody that they believe can be that guy.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest, as we are 1 month away from the start of free agency. And then, of course, Matt, you got us going here on the draft with a mock. Now, first of all, I love people that do mock drafts because, you know what, anybody that plays fantasy sports does this on their own. Mock drafts are an important way to kind of evaluate what might be some of the options for the Buffalo Bills at 22. Matt, the way you lay this out, though, I think there will be certain Bills fans that will say, no, you have to win with offense in this league. Matt, what about the case to actually go defense at number 22 in the first round?
Well, I think that you only do that if there's one of these guys that drops. And Kilavon Chasen from LSU is an absolute beast who's probably, after the combine, after he passed, is probably not going to be there at number 22. As you see in my mock draft, go check that out, nyfsyracuse.com. You will see that T. Higgins, who I had going to Baltimore, and Laviska Shenault, from Colorado, one more pick to the New England Patriots. The Patriots would love if he fell to 23, I believe. But I think that those are two options at 22. I'm just saying that with some other needs, if one of these cornerbacks falls to 22, if one of the edge rushers falls to 22, I think that's something that you have to consider because of the depth of this receiver class. We saw what Terry McLaurin did in Washington last year, and DK Metcalf, who fell all the way to the end of the second round. There's going to be talent in the second round and in the third round for Brandon Bean to really dive into this wide receiver class and maybe fill another need at 22. But, you know, the way that Brandon Bean sets up his draft board, it's all about, you know, they don't see team need. They see value. So if there's a cornerback, if there's a tight end, I know that that's probably not the case with this tight end class, but, you know, just take out, you know, team need and get into the mindset that they truly believe in best player available. And if a guy like Chasen is there, that's a best player available situation that just so happens to also be a need. And I think that you have to imagine that they're going to try to do what they did last year when they added John Brown and Cole Beasley, which set them up to draft best player available. So I think they're still going to attack the receiver position, probably the running back position in free agency somehow. So then that gives them the ability to kind of pick their spot in the draft. But I will say this, Gene, they do need to go after a wide receiver, I think, in the first three rounds in this draft. They avoided the position completely in 2019, and I think that was a mistake, a small mistake by Brandon Bean. He hasn't made many.
Yeah, I mean, that caused all surprise there. But then what was it? The embedded series showed the board there, and it really didn't have anybody listed. So maybe they were looking ahead here. At least that's my theory, that they knew how they wanted to construct this team. Matt, where do you fall on the idea of trading up? And trading up is always kind of unsavory because, first of all, you don't know these guys. They look good right now. Their bios are all good, and a lot of them will flame out. But the Bills do have 9 picks in this draft, and I can tell you that not all 9 picks are going to make the 53-man roster. You do have a practice squad full of guys from last season that are going to try to make it, so camp is going to get a lot more interesting. If Brandon Bean views it that way, will he look at his draft capital and say, you know, I really like this player in the second round, the 30? He's traded up before, but what about the idea of flipping some of these picks to make sure you get the guys you want?
I definitely think that's in play. He's always looking and measuring those kinds of moves, and it's all about the value. I mean, if he sees a guy like a Tremaine Edmonds that they've fallen in love with during the draft process, a guy that they believe in not only from a playing perspective, but a leadership and person perspective, somebody that fits the process, that's somebody that they'll be willing to move for. And so you always have to pay attention to that, especially this year with this receiver group. There's tiers to this. From everything that I've studied now, you know, there's 5 guys in the top 2 tiers. And I think that Henry Ruggs out of Alabama, Jerry Jeudy, and CeeDee Lamb are that top tier that are probably going to go in the first 20 picks. Maybe 21, right before the Bills pick, which is a bad year to be at number 22. But then there's those other two, Shenault and Higgins. And so So if you're looking at this and go back to what happened with Dawson Knox last year, they saw a run at tight end and they decided, listen, we're going to move up because we believe this is a guy that could be an impact player for us. So yeah, that's always in play. And if they go to the combine and they do these personal workouts and interviews and they figure out that maybe, hey, Henry Ruggs, who's expected to absolutely blow the roof off of the Lucas Oil Stadium next week in his 40 time, and he checks all the other boxes, that could be a guy that they'd be willing to move up a few spots to go after.
Oh, can't. This is the fun time of year, Matt. Matt, before we let you go, and again, you can check that up at NewYorkUpstate.com, Matt's latest mock draft, which I'm sure will have a different iteration here coming up as we get closer to the draft. Matt, I feel I'm not doing my job if I don't ask you for your opinion on what's next for Tom Brady. Apparently, the latest story is he sent his buddy Ben Affleck the shrugging shoulders emoji. He seems to be having fun toying with people's emotions here about all this, but if you had to speculate what's going on here, what are your thoughts on Tom Brady and his next move?
You know, I keep going through it over and over in my head, and I just don't feel that any of the other situations are that foolproof for Tom Brady to, you know, I don't want to say risk his legacy, but to put that legacy out there. And if it goes completely wrong somewhere else, man, is that going to be a poor taste in the mouths of not only, you know, the, you know, NFL football fans, Patriots fans, Tom Brady fans, but Tom Brady himself. And so to me, you sometimes the devil you know is a little bit better than the devil you don't know. And I think you could go back to Belichick, McDaniels. You know that they're going to be able to put some more pieces around you. And I think this is more for the theater of it. I do expect him to go back to the Patriots. And it's funny because my guy, Ryan Talbot, put out that Mel Kiper expects that the Bills to be the favorite in the AFC East if Tom Brady leaves. I got to tell you, man, and I'm not just pandering to Bills fans here. I was not super impressed with the New England Patriots against the Bills in 2019. I thought that with a second-year quarterback and a roster that was still being constructed in year three of the rebuild, I thought the Bills hung with the Patriots. They should have won at home, and they were right there on the road. If the defense makes a couple more plays, they gave up over 400 yards of offense to a struggling Patriots offense. So, I don't know. I think that they're right there. Whether or not Tom Brady comes back or not, I think the Bills are right there, even with the tough schedule, and we'll get more into that over the next couple months. But I think if you're a Bills fan, you are sitting pretty. The trend line is on its way up where – I think if Tom Brady comes back, the trend line might be going down for the Patriots.
Yeah, I cannot wait for the schedule, everything else. Matt, for everybody that might be jumping in at the end of our conversation, let everybody know what's up, what might be coming up at NewYorkUpstate.com.
Yeah, so some breaking news here. I just put this together. Thursday night on the New York Upstate NY Up YouTube channel, it'll be a live Q&A. I've been doing these every week, and I'm going to be live with ESPN's Marcel Louis-Jacques. That is going to be a ton of fun. Must see, must tune in for all Bills fans. I'll have that all on my social media account. And I'll also have a little combine primer, wide receiver focus this week before we get to Indianapolis, where I'm basically going to just, you know, lay out everything that we know about the wide receivers that we're interested in watching next week. And I'll also obviously be in Indianapolis next week, bringing you coverage from the combine. And so maybe we could check in again next week. Talk about what's going on down there.
Oh, the meat market that's known as the combine, Matt. Good to have fun out there, man. Well, yeah, let's catch up there when you're in and out. Matt, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Gene. Take care.
Matt Parrino, Syracuse Post-Standard. Some good stuff there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.